Psalm 34 is what we're looking at this morning. Psalm 34. I'll praise the Lord at all times. I'll constantly speak his praises. I'll boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, for you, his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I'll teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous, not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely overtake the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Well, do you ever have experiences where words just keep on leaping out at you, day after day after day? For me, that happened this week. Everywhere I turned, the word brokenness kept on coming up. Every song I listened to almost seemed to mention the word broken. I had a guy who turned up during the week and said he wanted to come to our church, and he'd definitely be here this Sunday, but he definitely isn't here, I don't think. But he talked about being broken and how he'd got to the end of his rope, I think, and he'd discovered that in that feeling of brokenness, that experience of brokenness, that's where he met God. And Margaret shared earlier during the worship time how it was at a time of brokenness when she got to a point where she realised that her life was completely out of control, that she was faced with this situation that she couldn't fix, that's where she met Jesus. And I want to talk about that place, that position of brokenness today. We don't like it. We don't like the word because many of us have been brought up to think, well, you know, if something's broken, you just chuck it and get a new one. And so if I'm broken, that means somebody's going to chuck me and get a new one. And that's not real good at all, is it? We're living in a society now where it's often cheaper just to get a new thing when it breaks down than to repair it. And some things you get that are just single use because it's cheaper to make them that way. And use it once and chuck it. And it's really quite bizarre. But we've extended that concept to people also. If somebody is a bit of a nuisance, or they don't give us the same amount of fulfilment or happiness that they did yesterday or 6 months ago, or, you know, just get rid of them. You know, you can be in a relationship for 20 years and suddenly one day you wake up and decide it's not working. Well, just move on, put it aside and move to the new thing. So people have become disposable too. And the fact is, everyone is broken in some way or another. That Sam talked about the broken heart and the crushed in spirit. We've all had things that have happened to us that render us less than perfect. And if you're in a relationship with anybody, the chances are at least one person in that relationship is going to be broken. Maybe both. Probably both. So we have a choice. We can move on treating people like we treat things, or we can try and do something to redeem, to restore, and to make good the people in our lives that are broken. And that's what God's trying to do with each of us, because we're all broken. We're all, you know, we're all subject to sinfulness. We're all subject to doing things wrong. I remember I did something wrong once. Might have been yesterday. Yeah, I got over it. You know, and we tell ourselves we've got this thing called pride that actually prevents us from recognising that we're broken. And so we tell ourselves, well, we're better than that other guy, or, you know, we're not as bad as we could be. And if all else fails, you can always compare yourself to Hitler and say, well, at least I haven't killed 30 million people. But Jesus comes into that equation and says, well, if you've ever got angry with somebody, then you've committed murder in your heart. If you've ever called somebody an idiot, you've killed them. So if you ever suffered from road rage or got cranky with your kids or whatever, you know, you're just as sinful as the rest of us. If you've ever looked at another person with a lustful thought, then you've committed adultery. So Jesus raises the bar. It's not just your standards that matter, not just your deeds that matter to God. It's what's happening inside you that God's really wanting to address. So the sooner that we put aside our pride and admit that we're not 100% perfect, as soon as we put aside our pride and start to realise that at some level I am broken, then God can start to work on that. Some people recognise that at one stage in their life and they turn to Jesus, like Margaret said. She recognised that she had a need and only God could meet that need, and she wanted to get close to God. And some people, at some stage in their life, get to that place, and then it's like, okay, I'm fixed now, everything's fine, I've got Jesus in my pocket, and everything's good. And then the problem with that is that you can start measuring other people by your own state of perfection. And that's called self-righteousness, and it's an ugly thing. And it's terrible when you start looking down on other people, forgetting that you came from the same place. And you start looking down on other people because they, too, are sinners, and you start making judgments. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be in that constant state of recognition that we're broken, that we can't handle our life without him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, I've forgotten what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, which is another way of saying the same thing. We've got to learn to realise that there is nothing in our lives that is exceptional that we can bring to God and say, hey, look at me, I'm pretty good. Because by God's standards, none of us is. And when we realise that and maintain that poverty of spirit, if you like, or that humility is another word, or that recognition of brokenness, then God can start to work on us and in us and through us. And so paradoxically, the thing that we most fear in our lives of being broken is the thing that we must pursue to get close to God. And it needs to become a daily pursuit. So instead of running away from the feeling that we have of, sinfulness, or running away from the hurts that were committed against us by other people and covering it all over and pretending it's not there, we need to actually admit that those things are there and confess them to God and say, look, God, my life's a mess. I can't do it without you, but I know that you can take this stuff and turn it around for good. I've been amazed by this year's Australian of the Year. What's her name? Batty. Can't think of her first name. Rosie Batty, yeah. She went through tremendously awful experience just a couple of years ago, really, of her son being bashed to death by her ex-husband, who was suffering from mental illness at the time. So she lost her son, and she's turned that around to be an opportunity, if you like, to highlight the whole issue of violence in families. And I'm just amazed at that. And so God has taken something that was a terrible experience in her life, and, you know, who knows what, how many years of hurt she went through before that, and allowed her to redeem that, to make something good out of a truly awful situation, and to turn it around. And so what we need to do is to recognise the hurts in our lives, to recognise the sins in our lives, and just lay it all before God and say, well, this is what I am, Lord, you know. There's nothing in me that's extraordinary, except that you dwell in me, except that you come in and fix it and restore it, except that you make something good out of this messed up life. So as we do that, we discover that God heals the hurts and makes something beautiful out of something bad. As we do that, we discover that God forgives the things that we've done that are wrong and gives us the grace to live lives that are truly open and free. And best of all, he protects us from pride. It's always good for me to be reminded of the scumbag that I am deep down without Jesus. You know, sometimes some of the thoughts that whiz through my head and don't get actually translated into action or into words just remind me that despite the fact that God has been working my life for 30-something years, yeah, whatever, 39, thank you. Yeah, well done, Chrissy. 39 years, 39 and a half years. 76, May 76, 39.
39 in the May just gone.
40,
it was 39 in
May. Yeah, it'll be 40 this May. Yeah, cool. Despite the fact that 40 years, nearly 40 years I've been walking with God, there's still stuff in my life. You know, I'm not going to be perfect. I might be 99.9999%. It's always just that little bit that's there for God to highlight. I used to be... many years ago, I used to be the engineer in charge of the sewerage system in Wollongong. And that meant that, you know, we collected all the crap that Wollongong produced, and I oversaw the plants that treated it. And we had some that were fairly basic and just put stuff back into the ocean that was probably about 30 or 40% pure. But some of the... It's all right, it was off Port Kembla where nobody's ever going to swim. And then they had other plants in places that were more sensitive, environmentally sensitive. You know, they received the full primary, secondary treatment. And, you know, they were about 90... The stuff coming out of that was about 97% pure. I personally would recommend you don't drink that because it's the 3% that matters, not the 97%. And it's like that in our lives. You know, you can be 97% pure, but that 3% will spoil your life and the lives of those around you. There's always going to be something there that God can work with, that God needs to deal with in our lives. And so we always need to remain humble before him and broken before him and to embrace that position of honesty, I suppose. Because that's what brokenness in the end is all about. It's an honest reckoning that we're not the heroes in charge of our own lives, but that we have one who can help us not just cope, but be victorious and overcoming in our lives. So, Lord, we just... we today, Lord, we just embrace brokenness. Lord, we confess to you that we're not the perfect people, that our pride would have us believe that we are, or that we would want other people to believe that we are, Lord. Lord, we're all broken in some ways. Some of us are broken in the form of sinfulness and things in our lives that are not pleasing to you and that are destructive to others. And Lord, some of us have been broken by the deeds of others and the actions of others. But Lord, I pray that you'll take our broken hearts and broken spirits and make out of that something that's really good. Lord, that you would redeem our lives and restore us to what you intended all along, Father. Lord, help us to just maintain that attitude of brokenness right through our lives. And Lord, I pray for those here who don't know you, who haven't really started that journey yet, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bring them to that place of recognising that they need a Saviour, they need a Redeemer. And Lord, for those of us that have started the journey, help us, Lord, to recognise that we need more of you, Lord, and that, we can't do it on our own. So, Lord, we thank you this morning, and Lord, I pray that you would walk with us every day in this process of redemption, of restoration and of healing. In Jesus' name, amen.